Today I'm going to share with you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Can we have the PowerPoint? I want to look into our true identity in Christ. Would you please all stand, and then we can read this scripture together? With bravo. 1, 2, 3. Praise be God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purpose in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Father, we love you. Father, may your word speak powerfully today. Abba, Father, we cry out to you today. Restore all our children here to be your sons and daughters, that we can know our true identity in you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Please be seated. For the last 10 to 20 years, I think healthy church seminar have been very popular in the Christian circle. If you have been to some of this seminar, which I have been to, basically is saying that if a church is healthy, the church will naturally grow. And then they keep on saying that in order to have a healthy church, you must first have a healthy pastor. I'm not so sure about that. But I think church is made up of all of you. Amen? You are all one body in Christ. If you are healthy, the whole church is healthy. If one of our members is sick, our whole body is affected. I'm sure that sickness is not a foreign concept to all of us. We have all been sick before. We are very concerned when we are sick physically. We will go to the doctor, we will take medication, we will fight the disease the hardest we can. However, when we are sick in our soul, we are often neglected. In reality, a healthy soul is sometimes even more important than a healthy body. 2 issues ago, Time Magazine has a topic on depression. How many of you have read Time Magazine? Nobody read anything nowadays. The topic is called the anti-antidepressant. Anti-antidepressant. And I was very intrigued by the topic, so I kind of like take a look at what's going on. And he said that, wow, a lot of Americans are suffering from depression. 16 million of people. And one of the worriest trends is that more and more teenagers and young adults are suffering from depression. They have anxiety. They have fear. They have the PTSD. They have migraine headache. They cannot sleep. It's like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh book. How many of you have read the Eeyore all the kids. You have gone through all the Winnie the Pooh, right? So the Eeyore always has what? A rain cloud on top of his head wherever he goes, right? He's depressed. What is the remedy? Antidepressant. So when the drug of antidepressant Prozac came out, it became an instant hit. And it is a $17 billion business. Not only that, people are saying that because of depression, it costs our U.S. economy almost every year $210 billion. How many of you are depressed right now? Nobody dare to raise your hand, huh? A healthy soul actually is very important. Brother and sister, do you have a healthy soul? Proverbs chapter 4, 23 said that, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life." Our soul is like a wellspring. If our spring is healthy, sweet water will flow naturally to nourish others. If our soul is filthy and contaminated, bitter water will flow out and make others suffer. Brother and sister, we are spiritual beings with a physical body and soul. We are not a physical beings with a soul and spirit. Can you hear me? We are a spiritual beings. Christ's salvation and redemption is for all three parts of our being, our spirit and our soul and our body. When we accept Christ, our spirit is redeemed instantly, and we have the hope and the assurance of eternal life. However, our body, will keep on decaying. So don't spend too much time working on your body. Tell the one next to you, don't spend too much time working on your body. Hey, say it, I mean it, okay, go. In the new heaven and new earth, Jesus said that you're going to have a glorious new body. Okay? Let's wait until the new heaven and new earth. How about our soul? Our soul is a mess. Our soul is made of our mind, our will, and our emotion. We still have a very crooked and corrupted mind. We don't think correctly. Our will sometimes is still very weak, and our emotions are still unsanctified. We still go through a lot of up and downs in our emotions every day. Someone said that sanctification is actually the process of becoming more like Jesus. It's becoming who you are in Christ. Knowing our true identity in Christ is the foundation of life. Because if we know who we are, it would affect our thinking, which in turn would affect our behaviors. There's a story about an eagle and chicks. American Indians, one time he find a, an egg in the forest. Not knowing what it is, he just casually put the egg into the chicken cage. And the egg was actually an eagle egg. So the eagle was hatched with other chickens, and the little chicken grew, little eagle grew up with all these little chicks, believing that he was a chicken himself. So he lived like a chicken. He spoke like a chicken. How does chicken speak? Go, 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 go. He ate like a chicken. So he would like constantly, his head is burying on the ground, try to find like worms and grains and stuff like that. Occasionally, he would flap his wings and try to fly, but only can lift up like a feet or two, and then he will be grounded. As time went by, he became an old chick. One day, as he gazed upon the sky, then he saw a majestic animal gliding effortlessly on the blue sky. This animal spread its majestic wings and soaring high into the sky. And this eagle, when he was looking at this bird, he said, "Wow, what a beautiful bird." In all curiosity, he asked his fellow chicken, "Do you know what that is?" "It's an eagle, the king of the birds," his fellow chicken answered. "However, do not even think about it. You will never be like him." So this eagle shied, and he accepted the fact that he would never fly like an eagle. And he lived a few more years, and he was slaughtered just like other chicken, become Kung Pao chicken. Oh, this is what I make up. Brothers and sisters, sometimes Christians are like that too. We are actually ego that are supposed to soar high into the sky. Yet we are settled and content to be like a chicken, always burying our heads on the ground. Knowing our true identity in Christ is so important to our Christian living. I have a dog named Chowder at home. Some of you have seen him. He's beloved by all of us. Amy treats him like a son. Oh, baby, baby, my baby. So every time, you know, when Chowder take a walk, he will come back and, you know, she will wipe his feet and she will give him bath and she will even spray perfume on him. The winter time, then he will put a sweater on him, and then, you know, when it's raining, then he will put a raincoat on him. Sometimes when we have food, we will give him like filet mignon and salmon and, you know, all the good food that we eat. He is indeed very spoiled in our household. The only problem is that he does not know his true identity in our house. He is a prince, but yet he behaves like a street dog sometimes. Whenever we are not home, he will search through all the garbage bin and try to find food. He loves to eat a wise cow. He almost died a few times. And then you said the cat has 9 lives, he's almost up there already. One time he find like, what's that? The pork neck bong ju guan, huh? And then he'll swallow the whole thing. And then when we found him, he was swallowing and he was already foaming. He's already dying, okay? So the kids were crying and I was nervous. And then Amy said, in Jesus' name, come out. And then this bong, luckily, and then he survived. Another time, he searched through my son's backpack and then he found a bag of Motrin. Now, regardless of what that is, and he swallowed the whole bag of Motrin. Again, we were panicking. The kids are crying. Oh! And then we rushed him to the hospital. You know, here, the animal hospital is just like human hospital. You know that? They gave him a chart, you know. They put IV on him, and then they put medicine to induce vomiting, and then all this 24/7 care. Again, he has a very tough life, then he survived. Oh, so the kids were very happy, jumping around. And then when I received the medical bill, I was the one start crying. He does not know who he is, his true identity in our home. He is a prince, but he behaved like a beggar. Brother and sister, do you know who you are? Knowing your true identity, Christ, is very important. People said that there are two important questions in life. Number one, who am I? This is the identity problem. Number two, what is the purpose of my life on earth? This is a mission. What is my mission in life? Knowing your identity is very important. How do you see yourself, brothers and sisters? There are at least 4 different perspectives on how to see yourself. Number one, self-awareness. How do you look? How do you see yourself? Sometimes it may not be accurate because we have a lot of blind spots. Other perception of you. Your best friend in your life may be able to tell you who you really are. You know, if you are married, sometimes your wife will tell you what you really are. Amen? Lawrence? Amy keeps saying, I'm telling you the truth that no one ever dared to say to you. So brothers, learn a lesson from me. Listen to your wives and your life will be much happier. Amen? Amen. How do you see yourself? How other people see you? Number 3, sometimes we assume your own assumption of other perception of you. Maybe it's something that someone said, maybe something is the look sometime, maybe it's like the facial expression, maybe it's a misunderstanding. We make a lot of assumption. As a pastor, we always make assumption, okay? So when I see you like I'm moving around and then you're yawning and then I say, oh, he or she doesn't like my pitching. He must be very bored. No, the fact is actually you stay up late all night working on your homework or you are binge watching the Netflix. When I see someone has a dark face, not looking happy, and then I was, oh, he must be angry at me. He probably doesn't like what I say. No, the fact is, actually, he had an argument with his wife before he walks in. So that's why he's dark face. Sometime at the end of the service, I will shake people's hand at that door. Many people would go out from that door. Oh no, these people don't like me. Every week they go that way instead of go that way to shake my hand. So today I'm not going to shake your hands, okay? I'm not going to test you. No, the fact that actually they try to get out the door as soon as possible to go to dim sum and then go to, you know, go watch football game. Brother and sister, our true identity is how God looks at you. Not how you look at yourself. Not how other people look at you. Not how you assume other people look at you. It is how God looks at you. The scripture today we read is about our true identity in Christ. The word in Christ appear many times. You have to understand in Pauline letters, he often used the phrase in Christ, in him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. This phrase appear over 164 times. In the book of Ephesians only, it appeared like 36 times in Christ, in him, throughout Jesus Christ, in our Lord Jesus. Why is this so important for us to be in Christ? Before you are in Christ, how does God look at you? The Bible said that you are condemned. You are lost. You are dead in your transgressions. You are separated from him. You are the children of wrath, and God's wrath is constantly on you. However, when you are in Christ, God sees you differently. When you are in Christ, God only sees Jesus because he is perfect, he is blameless, he is righteous, he is holy, he is beautiful, and he is glorious. That's all what Jesus sees in you. How many of you like mochi? Yeah, mochi, right? Usually, don't argue with me. It's usually white, right? White color outside, right? But what can you put inside? Huh? Red bean, and then what else? Ice cream. Anything. What else? Sesame. I like the young people. They're responsive. What else? Peanuts? Coconut? I love all those. But when you look at the mochi, you only look at it, it's only white. You don't know what is inside. When we are in Christ, we are covered and hidden in him. This is what the Bible said. All God sees is God's perfection and not your sinfulness. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1:30 said that when you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Paul said that when we are in Christ, we have a lot of spiritual blessings. I'm going to briefly mention what are the blessings that he's talking about. Praise be to God, verses 3, and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have to note the tense. It has blessed us. It is already completed. When you are in Christ, this is already a done deal. Number one, you are chosen before the creation of the world. Tell the one next to you, you are the chosen one. Tell him or her. God chose you before the creation of the world. Before the universe exists. Before Adam and Eve. Before anything came into being. Before you were even born, God chose you. This is a mystery beyond us. God, out of his grace and mercy, chose you not because you are good, you're beautiful, you are noble. It is out of his great love for you. To be chosen is a good feeling, isn't it? Isn't it? Because someone affirmed our value. When you are chosen, that means someone affirmed your value. Our identity is often affirmed by the fact that we are being chosen. How many of you are in high school or senior here? Only one? Quite a few, right? Yeah, I can see. Okay. All the high school kid, the goal is to get into what? You know it, right? I've seen like high school senior, once they are accepted by Stanford, all of a sudden they grow 2 inches taller. Whoop! And then they would put on a Stanford sweater and they walk around like that. It's so true, right? You've seen that, right? Many of you work in high tech. If you are chosen by the hippest high tech, among thousands of applicants, you feel good. I'm not bad after all. Brother and sister, your greatest blessing in life are not being chosen by the prestigious university or company. The greatest blessing you ever have is to be chosen by God. Amen? Amen. Number two, sonship. God chose you before the creation not to become his slaves, 周牛周马, but his sons and daughters. Romans chapter 8, 15 says that for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, hallelujah, so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit that you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. Our Father is a very generous Father. He owns everything too. The Bible said that he lavished on us everything from above, the spiritual blessing. And his son and his daughter, we are heirs. We're heirs. That means we have inheritance. Tell the one next to you, you are very rich indeed. Tell him or her. Our earthly parents always love us unconditionally. From the day we were born, to the day when we left home, to the day we come back home, they always love us unconditionally. A few weeks ago, I took my ministerial leave, and then I took my son back to Hong Kong to visit my dad. My dad is already 90 years old. When we arrived in Hong Kong, it was pretty late into the night. So when we arrived, his apartment is already midnight. You have to know that as an old person, he sleeps very early, usually 8 or 9. Some of you maybe sleep 8 or 9 here too, okay? And then that night he was waiting for us in the living room on the couch. And then he was quite a frugal man. Usually during the hot summer day, he doesn't turn on air conditioning because he knows that we are coming. So he closed all the window and then he turned on ding lang hei, huh? Just make sure the room is very cold. So when we arrived, his maid said, Gong Gong is very happy today. He waited for you all night long. He is very happy to see you. You know, Chinese father never said, I love you, son. Never. I never heard from his mouth. But his action just speak volume. When we arrived, he simply said, oh, you are back. Why so late? Then he went into his bedroom without saying much. A man of few words. This is our father's love. He always yearned for his children to come home. By the way, he turned on the air conditioning for you too, waiting for you to come back. Mothers always the same too. They love the children unconditionally. Amen. My son has an internship in North Carolina, so at the end of our ministerial leave, we went there to visit him. due to the flight delay, it takes 16 hours to get to the East Coast. My goodness. But the mother is so happy to see the son. No one word of complaint. And then the first thing Amy saw the son is make sure that he know how to feed himself. Gave him a very detailed instruction how to make fried rice. And then after we left, and then that night, he made fried rice and took a picture and sent it to us. And it was like, whoa, looks really good. My wife is never the outdoor person. But out of her great love for the son, she done 2 days of nonstop hiking to the highest of the mountain and treading with the very rough terrains just to be with the son. Her body afterward was aching all over just for the love of her son. Brother and sister, God's love for us is even more so. Isaiah 46 verses 3 and 4 said that, listen. You whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hair, I am he. I am he who sustained you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Our Heavenly Father loves us from the moment we were born to an old age, even when our hair is all gray. His love for us never changed. Amen. Not only you are chosen, not only to become his son and daughter, he make you holy and blameless. Tell the one next to you, he make you holy and blameless. He did not choose us because we are holy and blameless. He chose us so that we can become holy and blameless. Amen. 1 Peter talk about that we are the chosen people, a royal priest of holy nation, God's special possession. We are set apart for him and him alone. Number 4, you are redeemed by his precious blood. We are no longer condemned. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, 1 talk about there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan's greatest tactic is to accuse you day and night before the throne of God. We often feel shameful and guilty for the sins that we have committed. Although cognitively, in our mind, we know our sins are forgiven, we did not experience the joy of forgiveness. We always bear the guilt and shame. We always hung our heads. Brother and sister, know your identity in Christ. For those who are in Christ, there is no more condemnation. Amen. Lastly, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Just like kettles, the owner would put a seal on the kettle, right? This one belongs to me. God put a mark on you. He give you the Holy Spirit as a reminder that you are the children of God. Every day he pour out his love, Christ's love, abundantly on you through the Holy Spirit, so that you know that you are the children of God. Brother and sister, are you firm with your true identity in Christ? Someone said that this is like a foundation in our life. If our foundation is secure and solid, the house that we will be built will be strong and solid. However, if the foundation is not solid, the house will be shaky and will be easily crumble in the midst of storms. Satan's greatest scheme is to attack our foundation. He relentlessly attacks us through lies planted in our mind, our false identity. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, the fall of humanity is through a lie. Did you realize that? Satan told Eve, "Did God really say that? You will not certainly die. God did not say that. He is an egomaniac. He doesn't want you to be like him. Go eat it." Satan plants a lot of lies in our life to attack our identity in Christ. If we do not live according to our true identity, we succumb to our false self, our false identity. There are 3 major lies in our life. Number 1, our value is dependent on our performance. If you perform, you will be loved. If you do not perform, people will not love you. Performance lie. I think Asian culture is one of the most performance-driven culture in the world, right? You're expected to get A's because you are Asian. You're not Bishan. No be allowed. Parents send the kids to Harvard 360, spending tens of thousands of dollars to get ahead of the curve. When I was in high school in Hong Kong, there was only two universities. One is called a Hong Kong University. The other is called a Chinese University. And every student's dream is to get into one of these two universities. Failure to do that was almost like the end of the world. I did not get in, so for months I was depressed. It was the end of the world. However, when I look back, this is truly laughable. Our value, my identity, is tied up to our mission to a university. Now I look back, even though I did not get into Hong Kong U, but I got into SJSU. Yay! How many of you are SJSU? Woohoo! Can I say a woohoo? You can still be a productive member of the society. Who is that woohoo? Elliot. Hallelujah. Give a big hand to Elliot. A lot of people use their profession to define themselves. What do you do for a living? If you're a doctor, you're an engineer, you're a lawyer, then people respect you, bow down to you. If you're a book caller, people look down on you. If you are a pastor, people further look down on you. People judge you by the car that you drive. You drive a Tesla. Wow. So hip, so in, so high tech. You drive a what? A beat up Honda? The other day I was driving my 22 years old Honda to a car wash and I have not driven for a few weeks and I misjudged and then I bump into a pole. And fortunately, it's not my car, it's my son's car. And then I got out and looked at the damage and then the paint was badly scratched. I said, hallelujah. It looks pretty mosaic, pretty nice. Those who learn music are under performance orientation too. You have to play well. If you play well, people applaud you. If you play poorly, people are like, eh. Our identity is tied up to our performance. I still remember when I was in Hong Kong, I already served as a pianist in the church. It's a very traditional church. In order to be a pianist, you have to have a certain level of skill set. So you have to be pretty good already. On one cold winter morning, I still remember that day. Somehow, I don't know why, my finger froze. I could not even play a simple introduction for people to come in to sing. Can you believe that? In front of 400 people. One time, all right, not right. Second time, all right, not right. Third time, all right, not right. To a point, the organist sister is, let me do it. And then she walks, she came in. Let me tell you, that day I was so ashamed of myself. I want to find a hole to hide. I was depressed for 3 months, no kidding, at least 3 months. Performance orientation. Pastor can also easily fall into the temptation of performance. Every week you stand up here, you give a talk. This is public speaking, right? You evaluate whether you talk, give a good talk or not. When people look bored, and say, we feel very bad, we feel depressed. Please don't do that to me, okay? And when people come to you, compliment, good sermon, Pastor. And then I will be very happy inside, but outside I keep my humble look. No. I used to spend a lot of hours preparing sermon. You cannot believe how much time I spent. I want to deliver a perfect sermon. But now I find my true identity in Christ. Who cares? If you don't like it, that's fine. Satan keeps telling you, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not worthy. You are filthy. You are dirty. We all know Jesus' temptation really well, the story. We always focus on his three temptations. The turning stone into bread means his physical need. Jumping off from the temple top without harm. That he's being spectacular. Bow down to Satan and Jesus will have the kingdom of the world. Talk about the fame and the riches of the world. No. The real challenge to Jesus is his identity. Satan said multiple times, if you are the Son of God, then do this. He challenged his identity. If you are the Son of God, prove this to me, that you can do this. Jesus knows his identity really well. He does not have to do all this to prove that he is the Son of God. Let me tell you, a lot of people nowadays live their lives trying to prove a point. You think I cannot do this? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to do this and prove you wrong. You think I cannot play basketball now? I'm going to prove you wrong. And afterward, my knee was swollen, you know, for like 2 weeks. If you are not sure of your own identity in Christ, we have always have to prove to others. Jesus' identity was repeatedly challenged, even on the cross. Matthew 27, talk about when the people walked by, they heard insult at him. Come down now, if you are the Son of God. If I was Jesus, I could probably cannot stand that anymore. I will come down and slap the dude twice, and then I will went back up. Jesus did not do that. He knew his identity in God. How can he overcome the temptation? Because he is very intimate with the Father. Every time when the Father and the Son appear in the Bible, there's always the voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You don't need to prove anything, brother and sister. Amen? The Father loves affirm his sonship and identity. The second lie that Satan always put in you is the people-pleasing lie. I have to please others. People has to like me and love me. Otherwise, I have no value. Long, long time ago, in Saturday Night Live, there was a daily affirmation with Stuart Smalley. How many people remember that? So I know your age now, okay? So this is a daily affirmation, and then that guy would look into the mirror, and then he keep talking to himself. I am good enough. I am smart enough. And doggone it. What? People like me. And he keep talking, self-talk to himself as if that's the truth. People-pleasing is a heavy burden. Deep down, we want people to love us, to like us. If they don't, something is wrong. A lot of people cannot accept his own body. They have very low self-image. And we are bombarded by this ridiculous and impossible beauty standard imposed to us by the media. Women have to look like Barbie with a figure that is not proportional and unrealistic. Men have to look like Ken. Huge bicep and tricep and six packs. A few weeks ago, my son asked me out of nowhere, Dad, do you have six-pack when you were young? I'm not sure why he asked me that question. Maybe he looked at my current situation and felt very sorry for me. And then I said, son, I never have six-packs in my life, not even when I was at my peak handsomeness. I only have one pack. Nevertheless, God is good to me. Your mom's still attracted to me. To make yourself beautiful is very burdensome. It takes a lot of effort. Amen? You have to be on diet, low carb, and no meat, and no ice cream, and no cookies. And you can only eat grass all day. And no fun. Some even go on to extreme to alter their look through plastic surgery. Psalm 139 said that, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Your works are too wonderful for me. Tell the one next to you, you're beautiful already. You're beautiful already, huh? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't need to improve on it. It's good enough. How do we regain this true self, true identity? Your value is settled on the cross. God loves you to a point that he's willing to die, let his son die on the cross for you. Your value is already settled. Romans chapter 8 talk about who can be against us if God is for us. He who did not spare his own son but give him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Amen. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? No one. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. In Christ, you are a new creation. You are marvelously and wonderfully made, and you are deeply loved. You are chosen by God before the creation of time. You are redeemed by his blood to be holy and blameless. You are heirs with Christ, and we have an eternal inheritance. And you have the Holy Spirit as a guarantor for what is to come. What else do you need? How do we live out this true identity in Christ? Number one, identify lies in your life. We have been labeled many, many different things. We have been called names by so many different people in our lives. You are useless. You're stupid. You amount to nothing. I wish I had never given birth to you. You disappoint me. You can never do this. You are not good enough. Does it ring the bell? What are some of the negative experiences in your life that keep happening in your life that make you feel like you are not lovable? You're always rejected by people. What are the things that you keep telling yourself when you are by yourself alone? Spend time with God in solitude. Let the Spirit of God reveal to you what lies you have been lived under in your life and reject them in the name of Jesus. Number two, your mind has to be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verses 2, talk about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be first transformed. The word transform is metamorphosis. The word is like a caterpillar morph into a beautiful butterfly. Our mind can only be transformed through the word of God, but not by self-talk. Jesus said that if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples and you know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not only about knowing it, but you hold on to it dearly. When people say that you cannot do this, you are nothing, and you are useless. Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through him who strengthened me. This is my buddy, Steph Curry, favorite verse that he put on his shoes, you know? That's why he can shoot all these three-pointers. You are ugly. I praise you, Lord, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm beautiful in your eyes. You're dirty. You are filthy. You are not worthy. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You are a loser. You amount to nothing. No. In all these things, we are more than conqueror through him who loved me. Let the Spirit of God pour down Christ's love every day. Every day when you spend time with God, soak in his presence, be affirmed by his gentle voice. The Father keeps saying, I love you. You don't need to prove yourself. Lastly, you have to live it out. It's not about knowing it, but you have to live it out. We hold on to the word. We live it out by faith. Let our mind be renewed and transformed by his word. In his presence, let the Spirit of God pour down Father's love every day from heaven. And by faith, we live it out our true identity in Christ. Amen. Let's stand and we will conclude our service. Can I have some... Let's come before the Lord and just... That's right where you are. You can start crying out. my Father in heaven, my Father in heaven. Thank you for choosing me even before the creation of time. So Lord, you chose us to be your son and daughters, and to be holy and blameless in your sight. Thank you that you have redeemed us through your blood. And you said that there's no more condemnation in Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you daily pour down God's love upon us. And you are a seal to us, guarantee what is to come. Would you just praise him right now from where you are? Give thanks to this Father God that who loves you so dearly. Maybe you always live under the lies of you have to perform in order to be liked by others. You can now say that no more. I do not need to perform. My value and my identity is firm in our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please say that to yourself? Maybe you cannot accept your own self-image, your body. You think that you are a mistake. There's something wrong with me. But the Lord does not look at you that way. The Lord said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are beautiful. Maybe all your life, you always try to meet other expectations. Try to please this person, please that person. Would you please say no more? So Father, thank you for your word reminding us that we are your son and daughter. We are heir, that we have the inheritance. That our value is already settled on the cross. Thank you for loving me so much that you let your only son die on the cross for me. If you are for me, who can be against me? If you spare nothing, wouldn't you even more graciously give us all things? Father, we want to hide in you, be with you. And no one can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen. And no one can condemn me. Father, I thank you for this great blessing and treasure that is in Christ. We thank you for our brother and sister here. We pray that as we go, that daily we not only knowing the truth, but we will hold on to your word, and your word will indeed set us free. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.